time in like 4 months, and I'm really happy that there are no notifications, because that means there were no problems with anybody that downloaded the game. Because they never fucking email the contact form. They go post on itch.io where I don't get notifications unless I manually look, which I never do. So that's how I run a business, everybody. And you can too. Welcome to the Comics Podcast. I'm your host today. My name's Chad. With me, I got Alex.
Hi, Chad.
Hi, Alex. You're my friend. And I also got Emily.
Am I your friend?
Yes, I wanted you to say hi, and then I was going to say you're my friend. But
yay!
You fucked it up, Emily.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Chad.
I forgive you.
Thank you.
Because you're my
the
friend.
The reason for the season is forgiveness.
There you go. I thought the reason for the season was drinking.
Didn't Jesus die for the season?
Yeah, I think forgiveness was the reason for the last season.
Hmm.
Or thanks? I don't know what holidays are.
Wow.
Someone has to tell me.
A lot to think about already.
According to Charlie Brown.
I fucking hate Charlie Brown.
Really?
Do you really?
Yeah, I really do.
What?
Him and his fucking, like, watermelon full head. Not like a half watermelon that people see, but, like, you know, it's a full, it's a globe. Him and his globey head and his football antics with trying to kick this ball and not
Alex.
Going. And then he loves pumpkins, but it's like, oh, Charlie Brown's great pumpkin. And it's like, Snoopy's cool, but why is he hanging out around with these deadbeats? And Linus, like, come on, your blanket's lame.
Holy shit. Alex, this is a worse take since the last time Jean-Luc opened his mouth.
Hey, Jean-Luc, we miss you. I hope you're having a
we
fun time
you.
With your family. Yeah.
I'm happy with that joke.
Hugs
it was
kisses.
Mean.
It
was mean. If you think Chad's joke is good, write into the show, Jean-Luc. Let us
know
what you think.
I want to know about Chad's office Christmas party.
Yeah, I had my office Christmas party. Those are always a hoot.
Did you get naked?
This one was a lot less eventful than some of the other ones, but it
Did
was a fun
naked?
Time. Huh?
Did you get naked?
No.
Ever?
No.
You're always clothed?
Chad's
always
a never
clothed.
Dude.
That's pretty cool. Go on.
But it was a good time. I showed up early like I always do. I played a bunch of pool. Pool tables were free to use this year. Normally you got to put some quarters in, but they decided to just pay the extra money. So
that's
I played like
fun.
6 or 7 games before the competition started, and then I didn't have to play anymore, and it was fine.
Damn. You didn't enter the competition with your,
no.
with your practice?
I was getting progressively worse with each game, which tends to happen. And so it's like, okay, the first game I played was the best, and the last game I played was the worst. And so it worked out really well.
Yeah, I went bowling with friends a couple weeks ago, and it was like my first game. I was like, oh, great game. And then it's just worse and worse, which is, I guess,
yeah.
arm fatigue, but it's also just like repetition.
It was one of those things where I almost a little bit felt like a wet blanket because I wasn't really drinking much because I thought I was going to do karaoke, and it's like, okay, well, I need to be like properly hydrated for that, and booze is not helpful. And then when I realized I wasn't going to do that because Heather hadn't showed up yet and I was getting kind of tired, there's a lot of reasons why I didn't do it. Some of them good excuses, some of them social anxiety excuses. But I was like, well, I don't want to be hungover tomorrow. And I want to go home, and I should probably edit. Like, I have stuff I can do yet tonight if I go home early. And so everyone else around me is, like, doing shots and getting just shithouse drunk. And I'm just like, no, I'm good with my water. And I'm getting, like, these looks like I'm, like, the loser at the party. It was a little weird.
See, the secret would have been the secret to performing karaoke is actually not to be hydrated. It's to be pissed drunk.
That seems to be the case. It's kind of funny. I was hyping myself up for this, right? Like, I was practicing this song. I mean, Alex, you know about that. We did it in VR chat.
It sounded good.
And we get there, and karaoke is sort of apparently like kind of how you and Cameron treat it, where it's kind of a laugh, and no one's really that good. And in this case, like, most of the people really couldn't sing very well. I would say everybody couldn't sing very well that I saw. And someone was like, oh, they did good. And it's like, no, like, she was on pitch. Like, she was on pitch. That doesn't make her a good singer. It's sort of like the bare minimum of, you know, of being able to sing is matching
karaoke
the
karaoke is like 20% actual singing and like 80% charisma and confidence.
Yeah. And so I felt kind of weird, like the idea of like, I'm going to go up and I'm going to do a try hard thing. So I've been practicing this and I'm going to, and it just didn't, it didn't fit the mood.
Oh,
sure.
I think it would have been kind of cringe. It would be one thing if I was actually like singing it, because then people would be like impressed by that, right? But I think what I was going to do was just going to bother people for 3.5 minutes. And then it just didn't seem like a good idea. And it felt like too narcissistic for me to go do that.
I mean, obviously different, but also not very different. Like when you sang in VR chat with me, Cameron, and Joe. Yeah, those are the correct names. I thought I said your name, Chad, but I just said you. Anyway, that's what happened in my head, but it happened out loud. It was a very interesting mix of songs, but it was like we were grooving to your song as much as we were grooving to like whatever Christmas song Cameron put on. That was really right. Weird. I don't know. I think at the end of the day, like people are there and they're drinking and they're like, I think it would have been different for sure, but I think it would have been good.
Is that I had no, because I carpooled over there and I wanted like 2 minutes to warm up, because if I don't warm up when I do that, it's very likely bad things will happen. And I didn't have like a safe spot to go do that real quick, even just like a real quick crash course thing of a couple things I do.
Sure.
And I really didn't want to go up there and just like start roaring for 3.5 minutes with improper technique, because I'd have felt that the next day if I did it wrong.
Yeah.
That's the good excuse. Other excuses I feel like are less good, but they're the ones that stick with me the most.
I feel like, you know, Emily wrote down the anxiety, the band, not the feeling. And then I wrote down the anxiety, the feeling, not the band. And I think they're both very, very topical. And both. Like, I think that you, in terms of your like your form and your singing, like you've reached it. And I think like, I mean, you've been singing in the Discord too, so I think you're just getting more and more comfortable singing with people and doing it in VR chat. So I don't think it's a matter of like if, I think it's a matter of like when you feel comfortable doing it.
Yeah,
but also I don't know, like you've sang it before, so it's like,
right. And I think if I had a couple minutes to warm up, I would have gone up and done it. Or if Heather had been there, I would have gone up and done it. But because like that certain moral support, because like she was excited about this too, yeah. But then, you know, she was tied up with stuff her kids were doing, and so she didn't get there till like after 8 o'clock, and I had been there since 3, and I wanted to get the fuck out of there at 8 o'clock,
because
that's a long time to be with my coworkers. It was funny. 3 people went up to do the I Like Big Butt song, and it turns out none of them actually wanted to sing it, so they just danced really poorly for the entire song.
Jeez.
And I was like, oh, this is the bar we're at, huh? Like, I can go up and totally fuck this up and no one will care except me.
Right, right. I think that's the thing with most karaoke songs anyway. Like, when you're the one going up and you're like, oh, God, okay, I'm singing the song. And people are just like, oh, nice, you're singing, cool. And honestly, if you sing bad, they should cheer you on more because it's less pressure on them when they're singing. It's like, it's...
Right.
That is one of the nice things about karaoke, too.
So... It was fun. Like, my boss bought so many people shots, and he didn't buy me any because I told him not to, and I was always just like one step away when he was doing it, and I could avoid it because he was mixed. I don't know what it was, but it smelled like cough syrup with like Monster Energy. But he bought a lot of those for people, and they looked revolting.
It sounds like Jaeger, huh?
That's what I thought, but it was more of a red thing. I think it was like Fireball and Monster.
That's a Midwest specialty.
That sounds awful. That's how that combination of flavors like literally makes me want to die right now.
No one liked them. I don't know why he kept ordering them for people. But he was really drunk at that point. It was extremely funny.
That's funny.
I mean, the president of the company got pretty drunk, got to talk to him while he was just blitzed. The owners showed up, got to talk to them while they were getting pretty wasted. Like, because we hadn't had this last year, and you could tell like people were itching for this because they were going hog fucking wild by the time I was leaving.
Damn.
And it was funny. And I think in a different setting, I may have enjoyed that and been with them. I've definitely done that before. But this year was like, you know, maybe not. I did try. Some guy tried to hustle me at pool. And when I say tried, I mean, he laid it on so thick that I think, I don't know what his fucking deal was. So I go up, my phone's not getting a signal. I go outside and the stranger's like, "Hey dude." I'm like, "Yo," and I'm messing with my phone. He's like, "You look like you're good at pool." And I was like, "No, I suck at pool." He's like, "No, I bet you're great at pool. We should go play some pool. Bring me in. Let's play some pool. Bet you'll hustle me." And I was like, "I don't know who you are." And he's like, "Come on, man. Bet you hustle me, you hustler. You gonna go hustle me?" And I was like, "No, I'm fixing my phone." And he's like, "Come on, man. I'm going to cry if you don't play pool with me." And I was like, "Okay, thanks. Bye." And I just walked back inside. And he was like, "What the fuck was that about?" I hear him like swearing or whatever. And I'm like, "What was wrong with that?" And I was legitimately worried he was going to try and rob me or something because he seemed like a really sketchy dude.
Chad, this man was trying to flirt with you and you walked away.
Well, he was weird. Not a fan of that dude. I don't know who the fuck he was. I'm going to laugh if it turns out he works there and he's like on third or like someone's friend or whatever and they were messing with me. I might not laugh that hard because like I was legitimately concerned for a little bit there.
It's very aggressive, yeah.
I was just far enough away from the bar where if I had to run, the odds may not have been in my favor.
Nice. Well, that sounds like an exciting Christmas party.
Yeah, it was a good time. I met one guy's wife who sounds exactly like Bernadette from The Big Bang Theory.
Whoa.
She was pretty funny.
Does she know that she sounds exactly like Bernadette from The Big Bang Theory?
If I had been drunker, I would have told her that, and she'd have been like, "I get that all the time."
Or she would have been very insulted, and she'd never heard it before.
Yeah, she's probably the one person on the planet that's never heard of The Big Bang Theory.
Bless her soul.
It was fun.
Nice. Well, I'm glad that you had fun.
Yeah, yeah. What have you guys been up to? How's your week been?
Emily saw the band The Anxiety.
I didn't see the band. I was just going to talk about... Yeah, I listened to the band. I was on my way home from running errands yesterday, and I heard a band on the radio that I had not heard before, and it was The Anxiety. And then I got home and I looked up the band and it turns out that this is like a new Willow Smith project. So I was basically guaranteed to like it no matter what. The song
you could have led with that and I would have listened.
Well, I was burying the lead, Chad.
Evidently, you're not supposed to do that. Why it's called burying the lead? It's like generally a bad thing.
Not always. But yeah, this is like, it's her and a guy named Tyler Cole, who I had not heard of. But the song that I heard on the radio was called Meet Me at Our Spot. And it was just really good. And I ended up listening to, they've got an album out. It's like 28 minutes long. So, you know, like, you can just sort of, I managed to like sit down and listen to the whole thing while I was just dicking around on my computer. So I quite enjoyed it.
Nice.
And I wanted to make that recommendation to you guys. Cause I mean, I don't know that I think I still like Willow's like solo album that came out earlier this year more, but I mean, yeah, it was a good album. When it was over, I was like, "Oh, it's over."
Is this something that's going to be on our next week's music show that we're doing?
No.
In late December? Or you got another album up your sleeve?
No.
Okay.
This has a nice vibe to it.
Are you listening to it or?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He's imagining it.
I thought it was a fun song.
Willow's got a nice set of pipes on her. She's a good singer.
She's incredible. Like, I did not anticipate liking her solo album as much as I did. Because, I mean, I guess I had only ever heard, like, two songs that she had done. And one of them was I Whip My Hair Back and Forth.
Oh, classic.
What genre would you call this?
It's kind of like alternative-y. You know, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I feel like it.
It was on an alternative radio station, so.
Okay.
Because I listened. I have XM radio in my car, Sirius XM radio, and it was on the alternative station, which is also where I heard Willow's solo album for the first time. Well, a song off of it. They didn't just play the whole album.
Yeah, it's which... good.
Yeah. It's good stuff. I've also been watching Succession.
I have no idea what that is, but you and Jean-Luc have been like going back and forth about it on Twitter, and I'm just like, this is...
Wait, has...
I don't know. Fill me in.
Has Jean-Luc been talking about Succession? Did I?
Oh, no. He says, like, he wants to watch it or something, oh, okay, and you're like, it's okay. A lot. And it's like, that sounds like an Emily show.
Yeah, I've heard bits from people, but they're all, like, very intense reactions, and I don't know if they like the show or don't like the show.
This show is a sickness of the mind. This Riverdale. Show, like, I... The morning after we recorded last Saturday, I got up and I was like, you know, I've been hearing a lot about this Succession show, so I'm just gonna like give it a shot. And I watched the entire 10-hour-long episodes
Jesus
in
Christ.
One sitting on
Why?
Sunday. I couldn't stop.
Yes, you can. It's called getting off the couch.
No. Wait. I mean, I got up to, like, pee and, like, make lunch, but, like, sincerely, just, like, one full day I spent watching the first season of this show. I have already watched another season of it. Like, I've watched 2.5 seasons just this week. Have you guys watched Arrested Development?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that doesn't help me at all. But Succession is a show about, like, this guy named Logan Roy, who's played by the guy that played William Stryker in X2, which I assume both of you have seen.
Nope.
X-Men 2, the movie?
Nope.
Which one? Is there, like, 4 different versions of that? No.
The original second X-Men movie with Nightcrawler.
Yeah, Nightcrawler's my boy.
I was gonna say, Chad, I feel like you've seen this movie. Yeah, the guy that played William Stryker in that movie plays the, like, patriarch of this family, the Roy family, and they own, like, a Fox News-style television news station empire, and also, like, some theme parks, and it's just like, anyway, it's fucking rich people and rich people problems, and like the head of the family is getting old and seems like he's gonna retire soon, and all of he has 4 children, but one of them is not involved in the business necessarily, and 3 of them are all like vying for like the future CEO spot. And look, like, when I describe this show, it does not sound interesting. It sounds very boring. It's very typical prestige drama TV. But, like, I swear to God, like, it's just really good. Like, not only is the acting and the writing really good, but, like, also, like, the music in the show is really good. Like, it's got a really strong theme song. And then they, like, will use, like, variations on, like, the chords in the theme as part of, like, music and other scenes in, like, a really cool way. Like, I watched a whole video about the, like, the composer who does the music for the show talking about, like, his process, like, with taking parts of the music and repurposing it for other parts of the show, and it was just fascinating. And I never, like, am interested in music theory stuff, but, like, I'm watching this show and I'm, like, ranting to my wife about, like, CEO appointments and shareholder meetings and, like, proxy bidding and things that I do not actually understand in real life, but, like, oh my god, like, this show is truly a sickness of the mind.
Huh.
It's really good, but it's also so much. Every person in this show is their own special brand of deranged. It's basically like, Chad, you know that quote from Steven Universe where, like, Lil Butler is like, "You people have too much money." That's the show. It's money.
I don't remember that quote.
Money and power just, like, totally rot the insides of people's brains and
Who
make them
Lil
do
Butler?
Insane, stupid stuff. It was, Lil Butler was a TV show that Greg and Amethyst liked to watch.
Oh, Yeah.
Yeah.
God, that's a deep ass cut. I don't remember that. I mean, I do, but I don't.
It's not that deep of a cut.
It's kind of deep. Hey, you know that fake show and that fake show?
Yeah, that's it. When you put it that way.
No, I guess I've seen Steven Universe all the way through twice, mostly. So, like,
I need to rewatch that.
You should watch Steven Universe Future and Steven Universe the movie so that you've actually finished the series.
It ended just fine.
And the sequel is also fine.
I've heard the sequel was mediocre.
Yeah, well, Cameron says a lot of things.
Yeah, and he's got a pretty good track record.
I thought it was fine. Anyway, Succession has totally destroyed my brain, and I'm probably gonna... The third season had its finale. Ironically, the day I started watching the show, I did not know this, and then I like had to stay off Twitter for a lot of the day because people kept tweeting about like the season finale, and I'm like, guys, I'm only on season one, calm down. But yeah, I'm probably gonna finish season three definitely before we record the next episode, because we're not recording next week.
We're doing a special music episode, but yeah, it's interesting. Like, there are just some shows that I like to binge, and there's something like Cowboy Bebop, which I'm watching, and I like to watch an episode and then just like not watch another one that day and just like have it, let it simmer.
That's extremely fair.
I watched two in a row. Well, not two in a row, like one on like a Monday, one on Tuesday, and both of them made me cry. And I'm like, Cowboy Bebop, what are you doing? Why are you making me feel emotional about Faye Valentine's past and this VHS that they found of her?
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow, what a fantastic show. Mm-hmm. And the Netflix show's canceled, so whatever, all good.
Oh, yeah. They actually, speaking of Steven Universe, they reference that videotape in Steven Universe.
Well, I guess I better watch the show now.
Yeah, you should. It's really good.
How many seasons for this one little...
oh, God.
Five main ones?
Yeah, I think so.
Most of season one?
Okay, Don't listen to Chad.
No, season one is fucking bad. You can watch like the first two episodes and then the last maybe five episodes and you're good.
Okay, there are 160 episodes total across five seasons. But they're all like 11 minutes long.
Oh, that's nice. Like Teen Titans Go. I love that show.
Like most of the time when Steven Universe would air, it would air like two episodes in like a block. So it would be like, you know, like two 11-minute episodes.
Isn't it like pretty drama heavy at times?
It starts off really like just sort of like cartoony and like normal, and then develops like a lot of emotional weight and depth as the show goes on. And yeah, it does. Like, it can get really intense and emotional within just 11 minutes.
Well, that's impressive then.
It is, honestly. Like, I know Steven Universe gets a lot of flack online for various reasons, but honest to God, like, it is a really good show, and I stand by that.
Oh, Steven Universe is a great show. The first season is a lot more episodic, kind of Monster of the Week thing, as they were sort of...
They had to kind of...
developing the characters, getting approval from Cartoon Network.
Yeah, they had to kind of convince Cartoon Network that the show could work, and they had to start off by being a lot more just like Monster of the Day sort of format. But it also, like, being a Monster of the Day show at the beginning kind of plays into, like, the way that Steven develops as his own character, and it's really cool and interesting.
Well, I have a Gravity Falls shaped hole in my heart.
This is the perfect place to go, honestly, if you're looking for something like that will kind of scratch that same itch, even though they're very different shows.
Sure.
Also, The Owl House is something you should watch.
Oh, yes, actually, that's for sure. Yeah.
It's also much closer in feel to Gravity Falls, even if it's like very different in terms of like genre and setting.
Sure. Have you guys seen Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated?
I sure fucking have, buddy. I have not finished it yet, and I actually recently started my second attempt to watch through all of it on Netflix. Nice. And I really like Mystery Incorporated. The voice actress that does Velma in Mystery Incorporated is in Steven Universe.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was just going to say it's a cool show.
It is. I like it. It's great.
I mean, I'm like a huge Scooby-Doo fan across, like, I think I've seen everything that's come out with it, but it's just like a nice, it feels like this is the show that they would have done on like the CW, but with like no sex. If the CW show would be this, but then, you know, that kind of stuff. A really fun, like, obviously very Twin Peaks inspired mystery show. Mm-hmm. With also Monster of the Week stuff and Conquistadors.
And Fred and his mysteries. Traps.
Fred and his traps. Oh my god, it's so good. It's like, in this show, him and Daphne are dating and they break up because Fred loves his traps too much. And it's like a legitimate like drama and like
that's funny
intense stuff going on. It's a great running gag.
It's
and
really it's, good. It's like there's like a scene where like she finds like a mag, like a trap magazine that he's been reading.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And they did a one-off episode. It's not actually tied into Mystery Incorporated, but it was a similar thing where Fred is obsessed with traps. And they're like, okay, Fred, like he has a breakdown basically. And they're like, Fred, we're taking you on a vacation. No more traps. And they walk into this resort and they go to the front desk. And the lady says, hi, I'm Annette. And he's like, you're not Annette, you're a human. And then he like runs away because he uses nets in his traps. Yeah. Good old
The writing Jones. In Mystery Incorporated is phenomenal.
It's cool, and it's genuinely spooky. Like Professor Pericles is like a creepy Nazi bird.
Yeah, it's great.
But also, I watched Hawkeye this week, which Jean-Luc's not here, but he is in. I don't know if I should out him. I'm not gonna out him. I'm not gonna say Jean-Luc's enjoying Hawkeye, but he is because the characters are having lots of fun, and there's one episode left now, and they did a thing that ties into Daredevil, the series that came out a few years ago.
I heard they were bringing him back, but I didn't know that they were going to tie it in like that.
Do you want to know what happens or what the?
I kind of do.
Okay, so the big villain of this thing, the pulling all the strings, is Kingpin from the Daredevil series.
Oh, it's nice. Vincent
D'Onofrio, who was really. Real force of an actor in that show. So
honestly,
cool.
That makes me want to watch the Hawkeye show.
Yeah, to be fair, I think Jean-Luc likes the show because it's Florence Pugh's in it, and so is the main character Hawkeye, whose name I don't know.
Haley
Steinfeld. Yes, and Jeremy Renner's doing well too. He no longer has his app, but he's still giving it his all. So it's good stuff. Yep.
Chad, what's the fucking what is it that Jeremy Renner likes?
Oh, having sex with skeletons.
Fucking skeletons, that's right.
Yeah.
What about skeletons? Is there any fucking of skeletons?
Not yet, but he might die next episode, so.
Oh. Holding out hope.
Episode of Hot Ones with Jeremy Renner today.
Oh. He's everywhere. See, you know what? He didn't completely crash and burn after his app went down.
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I
forget like that he's like Oscar nominated. It's like, oh yeah, he's in like other stuff that isn't Marvel.
I watched the episode of Hot Ones with Tom Holland, and just like watching him like totally melt down because like he was trying not to drink the milk. Like, oh honey, just like it's okay. You can admit when food is spicy.
Are you guys running off to the theaters after this recording to see Spider-Man No Way Home?
No.
Far From Home? What is it, No Way Home?
It's No Way Home.
Oh, okay.
Far From Home was the other one.
Nice.
I'll probably see it. I'm told like you kind of need to have seen a lot of the Spider-Man movies to totally get it.
Interesting.
I haven't seen the last one.
That's fine.
Like, I kind of want to see it, but I just, like...
Do you guys care about spoilers?
I
don't have any to give. I'm just asking.
No, actually, people have been like complaining about spoilers, and I'm like, why have I not seen any spoilers? I want to know.
I don't know. I feel like the spoilers are the ones that it's like, oh, Tobey Maguire will be in it, and Andrew Garfield will be in it.
People are really corny about MCU spoilers.
I saw a tweet today, and you know, if the person who sent that tweet is listening to the show, I stand by whatever I'm saying. And they were like, someone came over and they're talking about Spider-Man and they spoiled something, and I had to leave. I had to go on an angry walk because it was just so rude for them to do in the house. And I was like, damn, that's intense about the Spider-Man show. It's like, did you not know that Tobey Maguire was gonna come back? Or is that not true?
I mean, are they actually in it?
No, I don't know. I'm just like, that's been the okay. That's been the rumor. That's like the.
Well, that's what thing. I want to know, and no one will tell me.
You go to like Screen Rant; they'll tell you right away.
That's fair. I don't.
I don't really like want to seek it out. If I see it, I'm fine. Though I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. But I'm also like, I know that I'm not gonna go out to the theater to see it. So like, I do just kind of want to know, just to like, sate my curiosity.
Yeah. Also, the Spider-Verse got a new trailer in the last week or so.
It sure did. It looks bomb.
Have you seen that yet, Chad?
No.
Have you seen the first Spider-Verse?
Yes.
Ah, did you like it?
Yeah, it was good.
Nice.
Before we transition. Oh, I can't wait to watch the next one when it's out on Redbox.
Yay! it'll be there eventually. But I'm just dropping the trailer. It's just there.
It's very good.
Whenever you want to take a look. But
yeah, the only movie that might get me to the theater in the near future is the new Matrix movie. Well, okay, but I want to rewatch the others first, and I'm slow at shit like that. And I feel like by the time I rewatch them all, it'll be out of theaters.
If you can do that within the next month, like, it's going to be on HBO Max, and you can use my HBO Max login.
Oh. That's fair. I can do that.
That's what I'm going to be doing. You think I'm going out to the theater? No, I'm going to stay in my home and watch it where I can.
I like
smoke
the idea
weed.
of supporting A. Wachowski by going to the theater, but I don't know. It's like very COVID-y.
I feel like if I'm paying for HBO Max and I'm watching it on that service, I'm still supporting the film.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Because like I'm not like downloading it.
I just don't have that option.
Oh yeah, they don't have HBO Max in Canada, do they? Or
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But yeah, Speed Racer. What a film. Do you guys want to talk about Speed Racer for a few seconds?
Yeah, well, let's talk about Speed Racer.
What's everybody's favorite? Okay, first favorite character, then favorite scene. I'll start off with favorite character. That's tough. I really like Racer X in it. He's just so like committed to this role of like action figure man, good guy, straight guy, and the whole thing where he like got face surgery so that they wouldn't tell who he was is just fantastic. So that's my pick.
That's a good pick.
Chad, over to you.
So I don't know who my favorite character is, and I think about that. I want to give some props to the corporate villain. I can't remember his name.
Oh yes,
but I think he's a really good villain for this movie because he's realistic. It's about the money. It's about the corporation and the branding. Like what he's doing is sinister, but also real. Like it's such a cartoon movie, and he's a cartoon character. But everything he is doing, corporations do, but worse, right? Like he's a legitimately villainous villain because he embodies things that happen in the real world so well. And I want to give the movie some props for like actually having something to say about that. It's not just like a weird art spectacle about kids racing and it following their dreams and whatnot. It's like no, there's like some anti-capitalist stuff in here, and we gotta like check corporations because they're gonna buy up everything, and everything you love is fucking fake.
Yeah. And it's delivered by, and the character's name is E.P. Arnold Royalton of Royalton Industries.
That's a great name for a rich asshole.
It is, and it's delivered in such a cartoony villain way, and it's so endearing as a result of it. It's a great choice. Emily.
I was also going to pick the villain, and then Chad went on that really good speech about it. I really like John Goodman as dad. I mean, like, he is just the perfect man to play a dad in anything, and he's excellent in this because fucking this entire movie is a work of art, and On the one hand, I wish I had seen it earlier, but also I don't think that when I was younger, I would have been fully equipped to appreciate the true genius of Speed Racer, because I was a bit of a snooty little asshole when I was a kid. Damn.
Jean-Luc, see, you're supposed to grow out of that.
the John Goodman, he's just like because in like the whole anime and the whole, you know, the whole movie, it's about him like. Racer X, who's his first son, he dies, Rex Racer, and it's like, oh, I don't want Speed to do it. And he just like commits so well to this role of a father who like loves racing and wants the best for his son, but doesn't want him to race because it's just like, ah, such a bad thing. And then there's the scene where he fights a ninja with like wrestling moves, and he just like spins him over his head. Ah, fantastic movie. So best scene, and we're gonna start with Emily here. So sorry, but we're doing a loop. What is your favorite scene that you can remember from Speed Racer?
I mean, I just like, I really love like just the racing. Like, that feels like a cop out. It's just like all of like the insane colors and like the way that the action is like portrayed in the race scenes is just like, oh, it's just a feast for the eyes. It's so good.
Very true. Chad.
Oh, man, I got a couple I could pick, but I think it's the second race when they're like introducing all of the cartoon characters that are racing, and like the panel, like the scenes are shifting in and out almost like a bad Windows Movie Maker slideshow, but it's obviously it's not bad. Like, it's done with so much like expertise and care, and like what's in the background and the color grading and stuff. And it's so kinetic. Get it? It is just like introducing people, and it's so visually engaging, despite it being very utilitarian. And it's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, both of those scenes I love. I think the one for me sticking out is, I think it's also in the second race, or maybe it's it's the second race when they have sort of the big confrontation with the heroes and the villains. They're on top of a mountain, and then Spritel comes out of the trunk with like Chim Chim, and they have this like comic booky fight that feels very Batman 66. And it's just like, wow, Pam, dip, dip. And it's a lot of fun. That movie is just a two hour joy fest, cotton candy to the brain. We might be getting an Alita Battle Angel sequel, kind of related, kind of not related, but that's
cool. Fuck, we're at 37 minutes. We should probably talk about comic books.
When we start talking about Speed Racer, we were at like the 28 minute mark, and I was like, okay, like 2 minutes, and then like we just blacked out. Sorry, Chad, what did we lead us away?
The fuck came out this week? Where's that list?
I really hope we get a Battle Angel sequel.
Robert Rodriguez is interested.
Man, I've like met so many people that didn't like that movie, and I'm just like, y'all need to fuck off. Movie was fun.
Can't relate. I'm literally a fan of the like Battle Angel Alita manga, and I liked that movie.
Christopher Walls like gives it his all in that one too as the father character. It's great. Anyway.
So I'm not reading The Joker, but one came out. Are you guys still reading
this? This was a good issue.
Yeah, this book has been good. I mean, it's Joker, so like good can be relative, but
yeah, it almost didn't feel connected. I didn't think it was connected to the series until I remember what the cliffhanger for the last issue was, which was like, the DNA is your son's. So this one is all about like this adventure right after Barbara gets paralyzed by the Joker and sort of is dealing with that. And Jim has to watch the kids, including James, who's like obsessed with the Joker. And it just turns out he's like a Joker fan, but it's handled in a much better way. And Francesco Francavilla does the art on it, who did Afterlife with Archie. I said did because he hasn't done it, but I still hold out hope that he does it. But it was a really good issue of the Joker. I like, as a solo issue, I'm just kind of bummed that there's more issues that tie into the current story. I don't know. It's been such an up and down book.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty good. Sorry, I had to sneeze there. I think that the fact that it was sort of just a whole big flashback kind of worked in its favor, because like, I don't know, like I don't dislike this book, but I've been finding myself less and less interested in some ways. So I don't know, at least finding
join
out.
Join me, Emily. Drop
no, it. No, I mean, like, I know that Alex is reading it, and I'm pretty sure John's still reading it, so, like, you know, might as well.
This was a good issue. It just, unfortunately, doesn't really move the story. I mean, it gives you some
background. Yeah, like, okay, yeah, all of that is to say, like, I didn't dislike this issue. I thought it was interesting, and yeah, I don't know.
It's a good portrait on, like, grief that I don't think we've really got in the story. Yeah. Jim Gordon after Barbara. I mean, like, obviously we've had Jim Gordon dealing with the direct aftermath and the Killing Joke, and then, you know, stuff that lingers throughout, you know, we still see today, but this is, like, directly after, and he's, like, trying to get back to work early, and the commissioner's like, you're not going back to work. You're, like, you gotta go
get,
like, evaluated. You're still, like, months away, and just sort of dealing with that and his broken family and Francisco Francavilla's art. And yeah, this is one of my favorite issues of the series, but the series has been such a up and down, side to side, that it'll I think we'll talk about it on the end of your show, but I think we'll also say that, like, it's unfortunate that it wasn't more consistent.
Yeah.
What about Robin and Batman?
I fucking love this book.
I like this book a lot, actually.
Jeff Lemire is so good at everything.
It is. We are in, like, Jeff Lemire season right now. Like, our crops are being watered right now, and I love it.
What did you think, Chad?
It was awesome. I loved, like, pretty much everything about this comic was fantastic. And then they get back from the mission, and Batman's like, what did you learn? Debrief. And Robin just goes through every weakness if you get to, like, kill all these children. And Batman's like, good job, son. Alfred is like, what the fuck? And it was awesome.
It's so fantastic. Good. The first issue is the one where, like, Batman and Robin fight Killer Croc kind of thing. And there's that sort of thing going on. And I really like that one. But this one is, like, it feels like a Silver Age, like, Batman's nice, and he's taking Robin to meet the rest of the young kids, basically like the Teen Titans for the first time, and they you know, the real Justice Leaguers are off on a mission, so they sneak off and they get past Hawkman and they go save the world in their own way, and they become friends,
really
kind
cute.
Of thing. It's really cute. It's the coloring by the artist
Dustin Yogan.
Dustin,
the art in this book,
like,
is
yeah
the, oh, like, my god. Oh,
like, the coloring
God.
And the little, like, the little collectibles and things are, like, different Justice League villains and stuff going on, and it's so lovingly done, and it's colorful, and it's great. And then, yeah, as Chad said, they get back to the cave, and Batman's like, what did you learn? And Robin, like, turns into, like, this robot thing. He's like, I will kill everyone if you want me to, Batman, because you're my father figure. Which I think is really interesting, because Dick Grayson is not that character, and I think we're going to see that as it goes on, and I think we're going to see that with Killer Croc, where, like, he's very much influenced way more by Alfred than he is by Bruce, which is
Alfred,
you know,
is such a good, he's written as such a good foil to Batman in this too, where it's like, Batman's the father figure, but Alfred's the real father.
Yeah,
when fucking Alfred goes to, like, the parent teacher or parent principal conference or whatever,
Alfred might be the best DC Comics character, just in the way that he's written and, like, consistently throughout. He's just, like, always.
I have been saying this. Alfred is the best character in all of DC Comics.
Yeah, it's probably true.
He's fantastic. And yeah, I love that Batman is, like, just channeling his sicko mode Batman reptilian thing, where he's just like, let's turn this kid into a weapon.
It's that, but
I didn't,
like,
get a childhood.
Grounded.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, like, he's doing it from such a place of, like, almost of sincerity that it's,
yeah,
like, even more scary. And, you know, last issue we had the thing where he read through Robin's journal and, like, made him a costume from his drawings, which he, in his mind, he's like, well, this is nice. And it's like, dude, that is such a invasion of privacy. But yeah, it's 2 issues in, and I'm like, ooh, can we talk about this on our end of the year show as our top 10 comic? Is that possible? Is that...
I feel like we gotta wait till 3 issues, but also, like, it's such a weird year for comics that if we try not to do duplicates, like, it's kind of hard to find really good stuff. And, like, this is already just smashing it out of the gates.
And
it's,
we,
like,
haven't
fantastic.
Even gotten the really cute Robin and Killer Croc stuff that I know we're gonna get. So,
yeah.
It's good.
I don't mean to rush us along, but I also, you know, 44 minutes. Batman the Imposter ended.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of this. I enjoyed the first 2 issues a lot, and I enjoyed most of this issue. I feel like it didn't really wrap up in that satisfying of a way. And also, Batman takes a lot of bullets and still is, like, totally fine. Like, he gets shot, like, 5 or 6 times in this comic and is just somehow able to just keep limping along. Like, at a certain point, like, the way he's written and the way this is portrayed, that, like, my suspension of disbelief was, like, kind of cracked by the end of this one.
I regret to inform you that I forgot to read this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which one's Batman the Imposter?
That's the one where he's seeing a therapist, and he's trying to, like, figure out who's killing people in his name.
Right. Right. This is the Black Label one.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Well, I read the first two. Okay.
I read issue 2, because I didn't read issue 2, I didn't read...
Does he get a happily ever after with his therapist girlfriend?
Girlfriend? I'm trying to remember how this ends, which is a bad sign because I read it literally like a handful hours ago.
Yeah.
What the? It's kind of a dark ending where like they kill the imposter, but in such a way where they can't like... There's the idea is like Batman's identity and shtick is poisoned because no one will ever trust him again because enough people believe that Batman went on a killing spree that like he can't really be Batman anymore.
Okay.
And so it's sort of like this bittersweet ending where like Bruce kind of has to give up being Batman.
That's good.
Which is interesting.
Does he give it up and then like live a meaningful, happy life, or does he give
it
up?
No, it seems like he's like very depressed and sad.
Oh.
He doesn't get with the lady cop, which is weird, but I think she kind of stops trusting him, especially since, like, he kicked the shit out of her a little bit in the previous issue.
Yeah,
she's like, that was you!
Yeah, that's not a good, nope.
Also, like, by the end of it, like, a handful more people know his identity, which is kind of annoying. Like, that's always, like, the big risk for Batman, right? And so when that happens, like, 3 times in an issue, it's sort of like, okay, you lost your charm. Like, you played your card too many times.
Damn.
It was a good miniseries. I liked it, but, like, it's another one of those where it fumbled the ending just enough where I don't love it.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, I'll have to go and give it a read. I did read the first two.
Maybe Jeff Lemire will get me to love a Batman comic. Like
I think it's happening. Also, Batman Reptilian, I'm excited to give that one a reread. As much as I didn't love the ending on the first read, I think it was just like the first 4 were so strong, or first 5.
First 4 I would give it. I thought 5 it started to slip, and then 6 I was kind of checked out. And I know I'm somewhat in the minority there.
We'll see. But Jeff Lemire put out like a 2 more books this week?
He sure fucking did.
I forgot to read May's book again, but I did read Primordial.
Liking the dogs and the apes? The chimps?
Yeah, I enjoyed this. I felt that it was a little harder to follow than some of his other stuff. Part of it was the way the animals talked. Mm-hmm. But just like kind of what was happening wasn't always super clear because things were so kaleidoscopic, you know, like the artwork is very strong, but it's surreal enough where you don't always know exactly what you're looking at, and it felt a little bit hindering in this issue. The time skip though that we got was very interesting. I'm very curious to see where this goes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely a high concept Jeff Lemire book. Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino book that I'm not completely in. Like, I'm in because of the two people and the art and the thing, but it's kind of like I'm not as into this as I am to like to May's book,
mm-hmm.
which also came out this week.
I did read May's book.
What did you think of May's book?
I like it. There was some really, I mean, you know, it's a Jeff Lemire book, so saying that there was some experimentation with panel layouts feels redundant, but it was really cool. Like there was like the moment where they're like. Or there was the few pages where they're like going through like the city maze thing, and like it's the panels like are like going through the layout of the maze, and it was really neat. And this book is also very sad.
It's classic, as Jean-Luc would say, Sad Boy Lemire, which we love.
Yes, we do. We love Mr. Sad Boy Lemire. Also, it had a talking dog, and, you know, I love a talking dog. So,
yeah.
Can't go wrong. It's,
it, like, we always talk a lot about Lemire's writing, that, like, I don't know if we say that we don't, that we underestimate his art, because I think we do always praise it, but it's just, like, his panel layouts are so strong in this. Yeah, the whole Mae stuff going on. Also, I really like the last page where we see a Minotaur, and I'm like, oh, of course, the Mae's into the Minotaur. It's like, ah, oh, cool.
I was wondering if we were going to get, like, I felt like we had, I feel like we had been teased the Minotaur previously at some point, or maybe I just, like, was thinking about it, but I was wondering when a Minotaur was going to become involved in this, and the like the way that it was like sort of like in the like smoke in the sky, like, ooh, so good.
Yeah, really good stuff. I will say, well, I'll ask you guys the question. Well, I guess Chad only read two Lemire books, but if you had to rank your Lemire books this week, what is your ranking?
Okay, so definitely, like, I'm gonna put Robin and Batman at the top, then Mae's book, then Primordial.
Nice.
And
that's all he wrote, I think.
Yeah.
If he wrote more, that's insane. I mean, I think three is already insane. But yeah, I'm in the exact same book on that boat on that. And I think Chad's on the same one, minus Mae's book.
No, just out of spite for DC, I'm putting Mae's book first.
And then nice. I wanted to put Mae's book first, but honestly, like, when I thought about it, like, Robin and Batman brought me a lot more, like, joy in my heart, and that just, you know, even though, like, I do love a sad boy Lemire, like, don't get it twisted.
Yeah. Oh, what a guy. Why does anyone else write comics?
Right? Like, just give them all Jeff Lemire.
Well, you know what? We need Happy Boy books, too, so.
What did you guys think of Batgirl's number one? Did anybody finish that?
I mean, I feel like it doesn't need to be said that I love this book.
Yeah, I read like five pages. This was after seeing the messaging between you two, where Chad was like, "I didn't finish this," and Emily's, and then we're like, "But Emily, this is the book for you." And I was like, "You know what? I'm five pages in, not loving it, but I'll let Emily be the champion of it."
I liked it. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't think it was, like, really good or anything. Like, I just thought, like, as far as, like, writing goes, I thought it was fine. I really liked the art. I know that the color text boxes were kind of difficult for readability. As much as I like this book's aesthetic, I also agree that, like, I like what they were going for, but it did hinder my ability to physically read the book, which, I mean, you know, that's just, if you're, like, interfering with my physical ability to read the book, I don't know what to tell you. But,
yeah,
I really liked the, like, roommates dynamic between, like, all three girls. And, like, I don't know, I just thought this was really fun. And it is just, like, explicitly written for me.
Yay.
So I will keep reading it.
I got 14 pages in, and it was just like, man, there's so much text on every page, and it's all in different colors, and it's kind of difficult to tell what's going on sometimes. Otherwise, I like the idea, and I like the style. It really comes down to just, like, the execution was just annoying enough where I didn't want to put in the effort.
And, like, I don't blame you for that at all, because I totally get it.
I'm glad you liked it, though.
Yeah, I will definitely be reading more of this.
Heck yeah.
Anybody else read New Burn number two?
I did. Good old Jacob Phillips art with her, I don't know, good friend Zdarsky, but I like Chip Zdarsky enough.
I feel like Chip Zdarsky can do really good stuff, and this is on the good side of him. I think the framework is really compelling. I think the characters are fun. Does it blow me away? No. Is it a good read? Yes. It kind of, you know, like, same with, like, Stillwater, right? Like, I'm still reading that one when it comes out. It's not amazing, but it's engaging, and I think the ideas present are worth pursuing and continuing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see where this goes. I did like it.
Yeah, me too. I think Zdarsky's an interesting writer because he's got a lot of range, and like works really well with different artists. And this one's much more like crimey and grimy, I guess. Although I'm not reading Stillwater, so that could be crimey and grimy too. But when I think of Zdarsky, I think of like Sex Criminals, which I guess is crimey now that I'm thinking about it. So maybe he only does crime books. I don't know. But yeah, I'm liking this. 2 issues into a Zdarsky book, still onto it. So it's always good.
What about you, Emily? Did you read it?
No, I usually like Chip Zdarsky, but I didn't read issue 1, so I didn't end up reading this.
That's fair.
Should I read it? Man. Like, I mean, should I catch up before the next issue comes out?
I'm having a good time with it. It's like about a dude that basically solves mafia problems. Like there's three or four different kind of gangs in the city, and he's sort of like the arbiter between them. So if someone really steps out of line, like he settles problems so they don't go to like all outright war with each other and like destroy the city. Mm-hmm. He's like a really cold, shitty dude, but he's really good at his job. He's like a good detective, but he's a detective for evil people, right? Like, it's kind of a neat hook.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's got a lady following him around that because he needs like an assistant. And so she's like trying to learn the ropes and figure him out. And she's got a really good voice. Every once in a while, like flip to her, like writing in a journal and kind of her opinions on stuff. I think she's well written so far.
Sounds neat.
I didn't read anything else.
I tried to read Teen Titans Academy. Did not stick.
I'm still reading Teen Titans Academy.
How are you liking it?
I mean, I still like it. I mean, it's
just good.
It's fine. What's his butt is back to life.
Roy Harper.
Roy Harper, yeah. And so that's weird. And there's like some shit still going on with Red X, and some of the kids got kidnapped to go be on like a Sinister Five team with Red X, but then like at the end of the issue, Red X kills the guy that kidnapped them, and then like the Teen Titans Rescue Squad shows up right after that happens, and then end of issue. So, you know.
What have you done, Red X?
I know, right? Actually, like, I thought that's the writing on this book has been kind of inconsistent. There was an arc over like a couple issues ago that I didn't really care for that had to do with like the gorilla kid and like his uncle who wanted to take over the world, that I just thought the whole thing was kind of boring. But
was his uncle Gorilla Grad?
I don't know DC characters. But it was a gorilla man, so maybe so. And he had mind control powers. Does Gorilla Grodd do that? Yeah, I think that was it then. He was trying to like take over, and like I just thought that the plot was kind of boring. I don't know. Maybe it would be interesting if I knew who Gorilla Grodd was, but this was about Gorilla Greg, and he didn't.
Oh my gosh, this sounds familiar now, and I'm smiling hearing.
He didn't want to take over Greg. The world with his uncle.
His name's Gorilla Greg.
I mean, his name is Greg, and he is a gorilla guy, and he's
God.
Gorilla Grodd's nephew. So
I gotta give this a shot.
In essence, he is Gorilla Greg.
I love the idea of like Gorilla Greg just being.
It's
like
Greg with 2 G's. I think that's important.
I can just see him with like his hat backwards and his skateboard, and he's like, "I'm going out, Uncle." And his uncle's like, "We must take over the world." And he's like, "I don't want to. You're lame." And then walking out.
Oh, that's way better than what the book is.
Oh.
But, I don't know, like, I mostly still kind of like this book-ish, but, I like what they're doing with Red X in this book, who is a character from, like, the Teen Titans, stuff that I generally find pretty interesting, and,
is it a spoiler to ask who, is Red X just Robin?
I mean, not right now. Like, it's somebody else in the Red X costume.
Titans, in, like, the Teen Titans TV show, is that Robin?
Yeah. Have you not watched it?
I've only seen Teen Titans Go.
Oh.
And I love it. I love it so much.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I actually like Teen Titans Go too. But yeah, in the TV show, like the original Teen Titans TV show, it is just Robin.
Is he brainwashed or just angsty?
No, there's just a lot going on. You'd have to watch the episodes.
I don't think I will, but
John Luke thinks that show is bad, but John Luke has a lot of bad opinions.
I disagree. Jean-Luc, his opinions are fantastic. And instead of doing, I don't know, any more books we're talking about?
I tried to read Tis the Season to be Freezin', which was a, like...
seasonal anthology?
Yeah, it was a seasonal anthology, but it wasn't on the website that I definitely don't use to read comics.
Comixology?
Yeah, it wasn't on Comixology for some reason, so I ended up not reading it. But... I love a seasonal theme, and I was disappointed that I didn't read this. I started to read Getting Dizzy number 2, but then I got distracted because I needed to order dinner. I got too dizzy, and I forgot to finish the book. But I was the only one who was reading it, so I will probably read the second half of the book and then issue 3 whenever it comes out.
And so in lieu of Jean-Luc being here, I think we should do a J-spot, which is a Jean-Luc spot, to end off the show. So what that is we all say one thing about Jean-Luc that we like. And for me, I appreciate that he watched Space Jam, A New Legacy with me, even though it was terrible. Very terrible. Extremely terrible. I forgot I watched it till now, but he stayed up till like 3 a.m. to watch it. We didn't watch the whole thing because we decided to go to bed, but I do appreciate it. It was mad. Oh my God. There's like... It's like an NFT movie. They were all like, we're going to the serververse. And it was like, it was bad. But
I did hear that it was not good.
Emily, give me a Jean-Luc compliment.
Go. I like that Jean-Luc sent us pictures of his family's cats earlier today. That was very nice and lovely to look at. They're good cats.
Good cats. Oh my gosh, it's sitting in a box. It says,
find
your
strong.
Wow. That's fantastic. And Chad.
I like Jean-Luc. I wish he was here because I just saw a thread on Reset Era that's apparently Harvey Weinstein threatened to replace Peter Jackson with Quentin Tarantino on Lord of the Rings. And I think he would have loved that headline because he likes movies. The idea of spitballing what a Quentin Tarantino Lord of the Rings look like with him would have been a good game.
It's a bit, I guess it's a bit darkened by the fact that it's Harvey Weinstein in this.
A little bit. It doesn't help, but...
Yeah, that's quite a headline, though. Wow.
So I miss you, Jean-Luc. I wish you were here so we could talk about movies. Well, we probably went to talk about Speed Racer for like 12 minutes for no reason.
We actually blacked out. It was fantastic. That was great.
Yeah, that was not supposed to take that long.
No. But...
You should have known, Racer, honestly.
Oof.
Fantastic. Also, I'm thankful you put that giant master list of comics together, and I also really like the cat pictures.
Yes. Also, I like the story you sent us. That's all I'm going to say. It's a good story. It's good stuff. Well done.
We definitely forced you to sit on a bench and write it on your phone.
Yeah, 2,000 words on just on a bench. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was like a highlight of the week, that back and forth. Like, I took screenshots of that Discord conversation because it made me laugh.
It was really good.
It was.
But we're at an hour 3. I guess we can probably bugger off.
Okay.
Alex never told us what he was going to do with his Christmas bonus.
Oh, yeah. You got one of those.
I'm going to save it.
That's very responsible.
Thank you. Or I'm going to buy an $800 piece of Wes Craig art. We'll find out next week.
Yeah, you got $800 Christmas bonus?
No. More. Less. Should I be saying that? I don't know.
I don't know. Mine was only like $600.
Oh, I got...
Which is, free money. I'm not like, complaining. I thought it was going to be a little higher. And I was like, oh, taxes, those fuckers.
Yeah, I got a $2,000 Christmas bonus.
I paid more in taxes than Amazon. I bet I did that, like, percentage-wise.
Yeah, Yeah. And also it's like, so it's an American, so I get more in Canadian, but then I get taxed. I don't know. Anyway, the point is I can afford a Wes Craig commission. But the question is, do I want to spend that much money? The thing is, the commission is going to be a Speed Racer commission. So that's what's going on in my life.
Oh, dude.
Yep.
I would say throw back a shot of whatever booze you have and order that. And no regrets.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah, I'm with Chad here. Like,
that's something you will have the rest of your life, which could be a long time depending on your genetics.
Thanks, I think. Well, you can find me on Twitter. No, don't. Fuck that. Don't go to social media. Live your life. I don't know. It's 'tis the season of the holidays. Try to do something nice for someone. It's also a very COVID-y time, so try to do it from a distance if you can. So, yeah.
You can find me, Chad, at the holiday Christmas party where no one wore masks, and I bet most people weren't vaccinated. I hope that doesn't turn into a super spreader event. Also, I'm super on Twitter spreader. At AnonymBand. I shitpost about stupid things. And I do books and music, anonym.stuff. It's not hard to find. I don't feel like plugging myself properly today.
That's all right.
That was a little kinky, depending on how you read.
he's only half-assing it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where he plugs it. Well, I mean, yeah, that's where he would have to. I stand by it. Emily, what's up?
They can find me on Patreon, and you can find that at usnacast.com, because I didn't get a Christmas bonus because I am not fully employed and also lost $15 in Patreon subscribership in the past couple of months. So you can give me a Christmas bonus of a single dollar.
Patreon. Yay!
Is that it? Is that the end of the show?
I guess we're done, aren't we? I forgot I was hosting for a sec.
I'm leaving.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week when Jean-Luc is back. And actually, no, I don't know if we're recording next week because it's Christmas.
Oh, we're doing our music episode, Chad. We're gonna
record
it.
Yeah, we're recording
it
the music episode that hasn't been
recorded
yet.
We're gonna find time to
yet.
Do it. Okay.
Okay. I'll believe that when I see it.
Are we gonna record on what is it? New Year's?
New Year's Day. New Year's Day. Yeah.
We're gonna record on New Year's or probably Christmas. So whatever.
Sick.
New Year's Day is gonna be the day before I see Hadestown in New Orleans.
That's cool.
So I'll be able to report back on the next week's show about that.
Can't believe you made me listen to that.
I can.
Never mind. That was a stupid thing I just said. I've met you. Okay. Bye, everybody. Alex, hit the pause button.
No.
I mean, you're editing this week, so yeah, if you wanted to keep going, I guess I can't stop you.
Fuck. Oh, no. I was looking to end on it, but instead. Okay, bye.
You should leave that pause in.